Let's talk about the nation's long drought in the West and hydropower. Yesterday, Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd took us to Glen Canyon Dam in Arizona, where water levels are so low that it may stop producing hydroelectricity before long. So more broadly, what does climate change and drought mean for our overall energy picture in the U.S. and around the world? Reporter Umair Irfan of Vox has been writing about this, and we have him back on the show. Umair, hello.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So in the American West, we have seen this long drought, so there's not as much snow in the mountains to store water that goes into our rivers. Is this a cyclical thing where hydroelectric energy will bounce back, or is this a long-term shortage in hydro energy?
Well, what we're kind of seeing right now is sort of a drought within a drought. And so there's a seasonal drought, or like a semi-annual drought that we're in right now, that started in about 2020. And that's driving down water levels. But the West has been in a drying period that's been lasting the past 20 years. And so there's been a long-term decline in the water in the major reservoirs like the Colorado River and other kinds of, you know, waterways. And so we've been seeing sort of a steady decline in the water over these two decades. And that's having consequences for things like hydroelectric generation, but also knock-on effects for the energy sector writ large.
Of course, climate change is amplifying some of these patterns, but it's not just the energy supply, right? But also energy demand, it's getting hotter.
Right. You know, this summer we saw record demand in many cities in the Southwest and parts of Texas and parts of southwestern U.S. and Arizona and New Mexico, because with this extreme heat, you know, people need to cool off, and that means more air conditioners during the hottest times of day. But that also stresses the power grid, because then that means that there's less energy flowing through the power lines. Power lines are less efficient at higher temperatures, and the power plants themselves are also a lot less efficient at higher temperatures. So there's less energy being produced, the energy is being constrained, that's being transmitted, and there's a much more demand for it. And that leads to a recipe for basically putting the power grid much closer to the brink. Fortunately, we haven't seen the major blackouts here, but the stresses are only mounting.
And another dimension to this is other energy sources needing water, right? Power plants that run on coal and natural gas and nuclear, they also need water for cooling.
That's right. You know, it's really hard to overstate just how interconnected water and energy is. You know, you need energy to purify and, you know, ship water around the country. And it takes a lot of water to produce energy from the supplies, from things like hydraulic fracturing, which is the dominant source of oil and gas in the U.S. It takes about 4 million gallons of water to frack a well. And then you also need water to cool down power plants. Most plants in this country that generate electricity, more than 90%, are thermal power plants, which means they basically function on a heat exchange, which requires heating up water, but also cooling it back down. Mm-hmm. Most of those plants in the U.S. are what are called closed loops, so they recycle the water, but a significant fraction of them, about a third, are still using what are called once-through systems, where they take water from nature and put it back into nature. For the most part, that isn't really a big issue in normal temperatures, but when water temperatures get too high, then the power plant functions less efficiently, and sometimes they can't take in that water to cool off, and so they have to ramp down. And then if there's less water to begin with, you know, mm-hmm. the power plant is also stressed if they don't have that cooling water. Then you end up in a scenario where, you know, just this drought is impacting every element of the energy sector.
Now, in this country, we're already seeing a dent in hydropower production in the West. What is the picture elsewhere in the world?
Right. You know, we're seeing a massive heat wave and drought in China as well. We're seeing some really extreme temperatures there. And, you know, the major rivers like the Yangtze River are at low levels, and it's making shipping fuel in and out hard. In Germany, similar story. The Rhine River, which is like the main route for shipping throughout the country, Germany's having trouble getting their oil and gas supplies into the country, and for coal. They're already facing an energy crunch right now because of the war in Ukraine, and they're trying to get off of Russian natural gas. Germany is the largest purchaser of natural gas in Europe, and so they're really aggressive about trying to switch to another energy source, and right now those other energy sources are being stressed as well. But then in France, next door, you're also seeing power plants, nuclear power plants, shutting down because the water levels on the rivers that they're drawing water from are getting too warm. So with these high temperatures, as I said earlier, when you have hot water going into these power plants, they're less efficient. And with these nuclear power plants, it's gotten too hot for them to actually use that water, and their only option has been to shut down.
So for us, the energy users, what does this mean in the medium term, in the long term? If hydropower goes down, we need other sources to fill this gap, right? Otherwise, we could have scarcity, we could have rationing or brownouts.
You know, what this means is that, you know, we can't take energy or water for granted. Now, the good news is that there are a lot of technical solutions on all fronts that we can attack this problem from all sides. In the U.S. over the past few years, we've actually seen a decline in the amount of water we need to produce a given amount of energy. But we have to have policies and incentives to make people do that even faster. So dry cooling for power plants that uses less water, more energy efficiency, and just more being more thoughtful about how we deploy our cities and where people actually live to make sure that we're not putting people in the most dangerous parts of the country in the high stress times of year as we're running out of these resources.
That's Umair Irfan. He's a staff writer at Vox. Umair, thank you again.
Thank you for having me.